Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show, hour number two. It's 5 o'clock here in the Bayou City, and it's time for a top of the hour starboard leaderboard update. All right, looking at tagged reds. There's been two red tags weighed in, one confirmed. It's polygraph pending on the second one, but tag number 1803, Gary Merchant of Houston, Marina Bay Harbor, he weighed that one in. And then in the blue tag division, we have four confirmed tagged reds. Tag number 1775, Steve Isaac, 1774, Mitchell Mays, 1769, Robbie Pratt, and tag number 1772, Brian Cook of Dripping Springs. And two of those are weighted Terry Seaworthy down in Rockport, Surfside Marina on the other two blue tags. So nothing up this way yet, Sabina Galveston. Sheephead, real quick, 9 pounds, 9 ounces, and Ricky Rangel. And Gafftop, 6 pounds, 1 ounce, Justin Morrison. And Black Drum, 11 pounds, 10 ounces, Sue Lee. One offshore fish right now on the board, Danielle Grunewald of Freeport, 56-pound, 15-ounce Ling. So that's kind of where we're at on the starboard. We'll update it next week also after we had a good week of fishing so far this week. Maybe we'll see some new fish on the leaderboard. All right, let's run over to Lake Houston now. Let's check in with our good friend, John Littleton, see what he's up to this morning. Good morning, John. How are you, my friend?
Hey, good morning, sir. I'm doing pretty good, and yourself?
I couldn't be better. Can't complain about anything, man.
Yeah. Well, don't do a lot of good to complain, you know.
No, but things are looking up. Winds are laying down, and people are able to get out on the water and do their thing, brother.
Yeah. Been seeing quite a few more boats out there, you know, on the lake. You know, it's still off color. We're still getting these afternoon showers, you know, that pass through. And it's looking better. You know, the fish are biting. I mean, we had our club tournament last weekend out there, and heck, it still took a little over 19 pounds, 5 fish to win.
Not bad.
No, not at all, you know. And he had a 601 for big fish. So, we always talk about it. And even in salt water, too, you know, you got to have that kicker. Got to have that kicker fish.
It helps. You know.
Yeah, that was our problem. We caught fish. You know, we just could not catch a kicker fish. Mm-hmm. We just had, we had 5 2-pounders, and that's it, you know. So, like I said, we caught a lot of fish. We talked to several other guys, and, you know, they all caught fish. You know, it was one of those days to where our pattern was fish the muddy water because we did find, you know, a couple areas that the water was, it wasn't clear by any means, but it was cleaner.
But it was better, cleaner.
Yeah, and so we go in there and you know, we pick up 3 or 4 fish, you know, but they're little, you know, they're not even 14 inches.
Right.
And then we go and we hit a, you know, everybody's got their little milk runs, you know, and so we go to one of our little spots, and we know fish are there. And, heck, my partner catches, you know, a nice 16-inch fish, you know. So we go, man, okay. So then we go on and fish another spot, and he caught another one. And I go, wow, maybe we just need to fish this muddy water all day.
Right.
And pretty much that's what we did. We just started jumping around the muddy water spots, and earlier in the morning they wanted something moving, you know, buzz bait, spinner bait. I was throwing a frog. They didn't want that frog, you know, but they wanted something moving. And that frog, I've caught, you know, just lots of fish out there on a frog, mm-hmm. especially around the pads or whatever, you know, and I just couldn't get them to bite it, but they wanted that moving bait. And then we go back, oh, up in the day, and, you know, I picked up a Texas rig, and I started catching some good fish on a Texas rig and, you know, pick up a jig, and, you know, they would eat it. But, you know, you just had to weed through some fish. We didn't catch a whole lot. I think we might have had 18 or 20 fish total, which is still a good day, you know, for Lake Houston.
Right.
But we only had the 5 keeper bites. And, you know, we fished clean and caught all 5 of the keepers that we had. You know, so there were several, I think a total, I think there were 7, we had 15 boats fish, 15 teams, and I think there were 7 5 fish limits. So, you know, it wasn't bad, you know, for fishing. So it just,
yeah, especially, you know, the way that lake's been up and down all year and just water running through it. And it's, you know, during y'all spawning season, y'all didn't have any water.
No.
It was dry ground in a lot of areas. You catch your bedfish that time of year. So it's been a different animal this year, man.
Been a roller coaster, up and down. But, you know,
so mainly when your lake's all tore up like that and really off color and muddy and stuff, y'all just throw a lot of noisemaker type baits in.
Yep.
A lot of vibration.
Yeah, even on the spinner baits and stuff, you know, we get the bigger blades, you know, the bigger Colorado blade, mm-hmm. you know, spinner baits and something that's going to, you know, make a lot of thumping noise.
And that's, move from, you know, water.
Yeah. And the other thing, when I was throwing that frog, guess what? You know, but even though we were in cleaner water, you know, I figured they could, and, you know, I'm sure they could see that frog. They just didn't want it.
Right.
But, you know, that's why, you know, like Brian was talking, carrying 20 rods, you know, that's why we carry 20 rods up on the deck of the boat, you know. We were talking about tackle this week. I was with one of the other guys at work. We had to go run up by Dallas and look at a job. And so we were talking about fishing, and he fishes saltwater. And, he was telling me that he breaks out a lot, you know, and I mean, we do too, you know, you get hung up. I know y'all got rocks and, you know, we got treetops and stumps.
Sure.
Stuff like that. But, you know, I'll tell you one thing I was telling him that I found that's helped me a bunch is a lot of people don't do it, but I use a bobber stopper on just about everything I throw. And I take that little rubber bobber stopper, and even on a spinner bait or crank bait or whatever, you know, I put it on there and I pull it down there by my knot. And, you know, it helps to protect that knot. You know, you get hung up and you're pulling straight on that knot, you know, and it'll cut that line or break that line. I just, you know, that little rubber bobber stopper, get it down there, and it'll definitely help protect that, you know, knot when you're pulling on it, trying to get it unhung out of that stuff.
Right.
And they make those things clear and black, you know, so I use the black, strictly the black. You know, I don't mm-hmm. use anything but the black. But I like them too, you know. I mean, I use them on my Texas rig. You know, I'll run it down, pull it down, you know, by my weight. I like that weight pretty tight within about a half an inch or so of, you know, the top of my worm. And then even when I'm throwing a Carolina rig, you know, I rig it up with 2 of those bobber stoppers, and, you know, you do away with 2 knots by your swivel. You're not tying that swivel. So, you know, and I still put my little glass beads in there, so you do get a little clacking noise, you know, when you're fishing it, and you know, sometimes you want to, you know, you want a 2 foot leader, and then sometimes you want a 4 foot leader. Well, using those little bobber stoppers, you don't have to cut off and retie. You know, you can just, you know, just slide those bobber stoppers up or down your line, and they hold a lot better than people think. You know, so.
Yeah, Will used to always use a just a bead. You know, and it would slide down against his worm and everything. It kept him from grassing up as much.
Yep, yep. I, you know, I did, you know, also for years. And then, you know, I started using those bobber stoppers. And it, you know, it works for me. You know, I mean, right. Everybody, you know, everybody does something different. But it works for me. And yeah, I, you know, I still get hung up, and yeah, I do break off every once in a while, but, you know, it just, you know, it just seems like to me that it helps to protect that knot a little bit better, so.
Well, and it primarily works the same as like when Sharky, when they're fishing the jetties and having to get in there tied to the rocks, they throw what they call a knocker rig, where it's a big egg sinker
right.
that slide down to your hook, and you get in those rocks, and you can you can get it out a lot easier, not as many break-offs.
Right, right, yeah. Well, I think he fishes down there on the Texas City Dyke quite a bit too, you know, and you know, you get hung up down there quite a bit.
Oh yeah, that's definitely.
Yeah, he said a lot of it's fishing line from other. From other
it is.
That
you should have seen this picture old Hillman sent me one time. He pulled in out of the ramp at the Texas City Dyke, and looks like somebody unspooled about 600 yards of braided line. He sucked that up in his prop.
And,
I mean, they just
man. They
peeled it off their reel and just threw it in the water. I mean,
wow!
You talk about a bird's nest. My gosh,
yeah,
what a mess that was.
Yeah, and, you know, even like what he said down there, he said, man, I don't have to buy no more weed eater string. I just go down there and reel in some line and cut it off.
Boy, that ain't
no joke.
He said,
some of that line those guys use down there are, he said, it looks like weed eater string.
Yeah.
You know, but.
Heavy mono. My gosh.
Yeah. To catch a, you know, catch a little old 2 pound fish maybe out there or something. Yeah.
Yeah. But, their expectations are higher than that, but they'll take a 2 pounder. Anyway. All right,
yeah.
John, I got a roll, my friend. If somebody wants to give you a call,
okay.
Give them your number.
Sure. They can always call me on my cell, 281-222-8544.
All right.
Give me a call or shoot me a text.
You got it, my friend. John, have a good weekend,
right.
Bud. See ya.
You too.
All right. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back after these messages. Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. All right, it's 518 here in the Bayou City. Let's run down Texas City way now, and let's check in with our good friend, Mr. Dave Fremont at Boyd's One Stop and the Texas City Dyke. Good morning, Dave. How are you doing, buddy?
Good morning, Captain Becky. I'm doing fine, just sitting on the dock of the bay. What can I tell you?
There you go. We should have played that song.
Everybody's talking about the wind laying down, and we got some of that action going on right here on the Texas City Dyke. The flags are lazy this morning. Nothing wrong with that.
No, I like that when you pull up and the flags are lazy. Limp as a dish rag, as my
there
mom would
go.
Always say.
Well, we've had our share of the wind, and we'll have some hot days coming up when it's late down. And
yeah, you see the forecast for next week, man, there's gonna be some hot days, upper 90s.
Oh, here we are, rolling
yeah,
into July.
99, maybe 100. Let's bring it.
July's upon us, Captain.
Mm-hmm.
I just made my ride out to the end of the dike and back, and looks like tackle time's fixing to kick off. I got everything all neatened up here at the base of the dike and got the trailer set up, and yeah, it's going to be pretty good. I've had quite a bit of talk about it going on, so.
Yeah, even Blaine entered. Maybe. My buddy Blaine entered the tackle time.
I heard him say that. He said he's been doing that for many years. So
yeah, we used to enter it a lot back when we were kids in junior high and high school and garfish, try to win the big gar every year, you know.
Oh, yeah. Man, we Boyd's has supported the JCs and the tackle time tournament for many years, and I was in it, well, I guess probably the first year I entered it was when I was still in the youth division back when I was about 14, I guess, which would have put it somewhere around 68. Boy, 60.
That's back in the dark ages, huh?
Yeah. Yeah. I've eaten a lot of fish sticks over the years or during that period.
The Gordon Fisherman fish sticks.
Within a case. With an occasional sand trout and a croaker or something like that. But it's a good tournament in terms of keeping the activity up for kiddos and stuff.
Well, that tackle time, that'll start, what, this weekend, and it runs all the way through the end of next weekend?
It runs all the way, and I think, until around July the 6th, and I may be wrong, but because I hadn't looked at, but I think July the 6th.
Yeah, the 4th is on Friday, so yeah, it'd be the 6th on that Sunday.
Yeah, and I don't know whether they're going to, a lot of times they'll have a little fireworks deal after it or right around it, so we'll see how all that rolls out, but it's going to be good. People getting excited about it, and we'll support it any way we can. We sell the tickets here at Boyd's, and I think our good friends across the street over here, they also support Tackle Time, and I think you can get tickets there as well, and it's going to be all right. Hope so. We'll be checking it out every day and looking at the leaderboard and see what's going on, and it's going to be all right. There was a couple of youngsters in front of Boyd's this morning when I pulled up, and I got out, and they could tell they were excited, and they said, are you going to go fishing? And I said, no, I'm too old. No, I said,
too old.
No, I said, no, I ain't going to be able to get out today, but, man, it's looking good. I said, y'all going to go? He said, oh, yes, sir, we're going to go. And they were holding bait buckets, so it wouldn't. I still ask them, I said, are you going to get you some live bait? Oh, yeah, we're going to get some shrimp. They was all hopping around, so right. I'm glad we had some. I'm glad we had some shrimp this morning. You know, we're open 24 hours, and that can make it tough if the weather's behaving itself. We'll get you know, quite a few people to buy a live bait during the night, and then
yeah, do y'all have
early in the morning.
People come through there during the night?
We do when the weather obliges, and especially if the – we hear the fish are biting and such, get some good reports. But being, you know, our bait camp across the street from us, they open around 5, I think, or so. So a lot of times from the night before, they'll still have live shrimp. So when they open up, that helps, because during the night, a lot of times, if it's busy, we'll run clean out, especially lately, the way this the water conditions have been, with so much fresh water coming down, it's just been a mess. When I rolled down the dike a while ago and looked at our shrimp boat dock and the other one down a little ways, we had several boats docked there, so they've been coming down here from up. You know, normally they'd be shrimping further up the channel.
Yeah, my way. I know a lot of them have come down there because the shrimping's terrible up here with all this fresh water.
Right. So they're docked here, and they'll be rolling out and getting some. But we had some this morning, and I think we still do. The flag's still flying anyway, and it looked like there was a bit yet still left in the tank. So hopefully, what I always like, and we hope for, is to get the guides that get live shrimp for their customers. will have a fair chance at being able to get the bait that they need. But like I mentioned, Lee's across the street. They open up at 5, and that kind of between the two of us. But, you know, just I still call them bait camps. A lot of people say, what's a bait camp? It's a bait shop. But no, it's bait camp to me. It's always been that.
That's always been bait camp, buddy.
Yeah. And my thoughts to that are, is that when my dad would take us to West Bay, and we'd leave Texas City at 3 in the morning and head over that way and launch around Chocolate or somewhere. And there would be little floating bait camps, Mickey, as you well know. Uh-huh. You know, there was little bait trailers. And we'd pull up in there and dip out a pine or whatever we want. You take the money and put it in a box. Yep. Now, you think about that now, that ain't going to happen.
No, I don't think that'd fly too well.
Not only would the bait box be gone, but the whole trailer, the whole barge would be rolled away, you know.
There was a lot of people that did that back in the day. It was called the honor system. You know, we had a place over in Baytown for crappie fishermen. Early in the mornings, they'd go by the bait box there and get them a bag of minnows. They'd already have them bagged up with oxygen in them, and you'd just leave your money in the box and grab your sack of minnows and head out.
You know, it's just... And that's what we did. We would get that shrimp and we'd put the money in the box because, well, you know, the way people thought back then, not all, there's still a bunch of good folks, but
yeah, there is.
It would be that if you were so bold to be dishonest about that, our feelings were that we wouldn't catch a fish for 100 years. I mean, we would be.
Oh, you'd get the old jinx. Yeah. Karma, man.
You know, there would be no way, you know. Of course, that's different. It's different now. But, yeah, bait camps, I could spend the time, if there were still enough of them around, to go hit them and just go in there and talk to them, see how things are going. And there was a lot of good info that could be shared in between the different camps and the various shrimpers that supplied the bait to them. It was pretty cool back then, but we're down to just a couple here on the dike. We lost several during Hurricane Ike, and they weren't allowed to rebuild. And so there's just, it's been really slim pickings on local bait camps here. Of course, there's some in Galveston still and up 146 a bit up your way around Baytown, but not few and far between compared
like
to the way it
used to be.
You're
exactly right.
Yeah.
You know, the other morning I went with Captain Hillman, went fishing with him. We left out of topwater, and when we went by the tide gate there at Moses, I looked up on that levee, and there must have been 20 vehicles up there. I said, ooh, looks like a little trout run going on here.
yeah.
Then when we went around the Texas City Dike, there was a guy standing there fishing the rocks. He was throwing tails, and he caught a trout and reeled it in and flipped it up on the rocks while we were passing by. I said, look at there. They're catching them standing on the bank around here, man.
Yeah. It's once that fresh water moved on through and things settled down and the water getting decent this time of year, everything's there, bait showing up. There's no reason why you shouldn't be able to catch a few and enjoy the day. And so I think it's going to be good. This time of year, I'll wade that when I can. I'll wade that rock line along Skyline. I put in right at the base of the dike, right over Skyline, and in just a few minutes, you're getting wet. You're in the water, and you can catch flounder and some speckled trout right along there. And that's like you mentioned a while ago. It's all weather conditions. If you can get it right, going to be good. But
that's
that's what I've been hearing in terms of reports. Some of the fellas that's been going out I've talked to, and they're catching some fish. Haven't heard about any really size wise any big fish, but a couple 3-pounders on the specs. And
yeah, we're getting there. We're growing them. Won't be long, we'll be talking about big ones here in a year or two. So
man, that'd be nice
around, man.
I'm going to hold you to it. We'll just see it. I hope
I'm
going to
make that happen for you, Dave.
There you go. Well, as far as on the bait front.
Prediction this year, June 6th. Boy, wasn't that a joke. Oh, well, win some, lose some.
Hey, it wasn't blowing that much in, on the couch in the living room. It was pretty good in there.
Now, at least it hadn't been blowing during them Astro games. I know you've been enjoying them. Boy, there have been some nail biters this week, brother.
How can you win three games with four runs? Five,
but they only scored one on us in three games. Hey, that ought to tell you that's big time.
That's crazy. We don't like wasting runs. The Astros like to score just enough to win or get close to winning anyway. Except for the week before, man, there were some 13 and 11. It was just, I think we kind of rolled out most of the runs, but it's really been, it's been crazy. It's been nuts and just still gaining a game or two every now and then from Seattle and the Rangers. And I just love seeing the Rangers sitting down there around seven and a half.
Well, hope we can keep it there. You never know with baseball, man. They may get on a run, and they got the pitching. They just
any given moment with pro teams, a team can rise to the occasion, and another one that's been up there will fall. And that's just how it all rolls. So we just enjoy each day as it comes, and live with those days where it really stings when you get hit. But it's been interesting. I'd have never dreamed that we would be where we're at right now at this time, right, getting close to the All-Star break.
Well, our guys just get up. They rise up for these good teams. I mean, we're beating the good teams, and we lose to the inferior teams. It's crazy how that works.
Yes, sir.
All right, man. Well, I guess y'all've got – what's the deal with crawfish? It's winding down, I know. But y'all are still, believe y'all are still turning them out.
We've still got some. We haven't had too much to offer to the customers as far as walk-in sales, but we've still been having enough to cook some at the grill. But we just kind of take it a day by day. He's still supplying some crawfish, getting enough for some of the small businesses that still,
right,
have their little restaurants are trying to sell some. But he opened up his Santa Fe Boyd's Cajun Grill trailer over in Santa Fe, where we do, and we've been open 2 days now, and a lot of folks showed up, and I've been getting some funny and good reports on Jorge cooking. Some people just been really carrying on about what they ordered and how much they enjoyed it. So we've got our fingers crossed that'll continue. So Jason's excited about opening that up, because so many folks were asking about, hey, why can't y'all, cook some stuff out there like you do at the grill? So Jason tries his best to oblige, and so far it's been good. So we'll grow with it and get through all the kinks and stuff, and it's gonna be good. And it's open. It'll be open again today. It's only been open for about 3 p.m. or 3:30 until 7:30, but at some point we'll open up around lunchtime. But anyway, we got that going on, Mickey. We got Tackle Time going on, 227 Dyke Road, Texas City Dyke, 409-945-4001, and my goodness, man, it's always good talking to you on Friday morning.
It really is. My pleasure, my friend. Well, look, you have a good weekend, and let's get that Tackle Time kicked off. And here we go, man. Another year.
Yes, sir. I'm tired of hearing me. I want to hear Captain Hillman. I'm going to shut up now. We'll see you.
Hey, Dave. See you, buddy. Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye.
All right. Later. All right. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. Good morning. Welcome back to the Outdoor Show here at Sports Radio 610. All right, let's go down Galveston Way. Let's check in with our good friend, Captain Steve Hillman, see what he's up to. Morning, Steve. What's happening, bud?
Good morning. Just paying for my ice.
Paying for your ice. Boy, I hit you on ice last week.
You got me on right on the ice again.
Man, I got your pattern down, brother.
You do. Burning bush, getting ice, everything.
That's it. We're going to the Burning Bush Flats this morning.
Hey, that burning bush paid off for us yesterday.
Well, that's good. Hey, I like that spot.
It didn't for us the other day, did it?
No, but that was one of those days, man. I mean, east wind got us.
It was, man. I couldn't believe it's the slowest day I've had in months.
was fishing with the best fisherman that I fished with. Crazy. But, oh, well. I still had fun.
Yeah, well, that was good times, man.
Yeah, it was.
That was fun.
Yeah, we're going to go.
I enjoyed it.
Yeah, man. We'll do it again, hopefully.
Oh, before I forget about it, you know, when you pulled your boat out of the water and I was asking you about that hood you had over your transducer, you call it a spray guard?
Yeah,
That's pretty cool. I know you're going to start making those, or you already have?
No, I've already got inventory of them.
Do you really?
Yeah. Yep.
Now it's stainless steel. It fits over the top of your transducer to stop the spray from, you know, coming up high and hitting on the side of your engine and all that.
The
way that's made, you just loosen your other your transducer screws and that slides in there and the slots in it fit between the screws and you tighten it back down and it just fits like that, right?
Correct. Yeah. Okay. That way you don't have to drill any new holes in your transom.
Cool.
You know, there's other ones out there where you got to drill several holes and stuff like that, but mine, and it's I took it up there to Derek at Breakwater and matched it up with all the major brands, Lowrance, Garmin, Fruno, all the different brands of transducers, and the bolt pattern's the same for almost all of them. But now you just I was having a problem with that water. Because of the way this transducer is, and a lot of these transducers are, and the design of the transom of my boat, you know, there's no sponsets or anything to block it. So the water was shooting through that transducer like a freaking water pick straight up through into the bottom of my cowling, into my motor, and it does it on a lot of boats. You'll see them spraying in the air. And it obviously reduces the life of your motor when you get all that salt water and everything in there.
Yeah, you don't get all that corrosion. Yeah.
Yeah. And so I just fooled around with, you know, basically it's just not any revelation or anything, but I designed this deal and got this guy making them for me out of a 304 stainless, Schedule 14 stainless. So, they're real easy. Just loosen the two screws and then slide it in there and tighten the screws, put a little silicone in there if you want. And, then it doesn't spray everywhere, but yeah, I'm going to start selling them. I just finally got them into production. So, but yeah.
Well, that's cool.
Yeah, man.
So do you have them retail anywhere where somebody can buy them?
They just have to call me.
Okay.
Right
just
now.
Call you. You'll do it.
Yeah,
direct.
I literally just got my first batch of them last week. So, and
awesome.
I've been fishing every day. As you know, so I haven't had time to. They're going to be on Amazon and eBay and all that eventually. But right now, it's just, you got to call me, you know, old fashioned stuff. But
well, I'm going to give you one for you for mine because I get that spray. I don't like it getting all over my engine there like that.
Yeah. But anyway.
Well, I know fishing's been good for you the last 2 days. You've caught them up pretty good, man. Tell me how you did it.
It's been good. Really, almost, like I said, every day but when I took
Well, every day but Tuesday, the day you and I went together. Hey, it happens.
That was a lot
I know, you're beating
yourself
up about it, but I've been doing this all my life. I know about that. Back when we had millions of fish, I used to go out and have those kind of slow trips. I mean, that's
part of it. Hey, we still got our six piece.
Still got our six piece, man.
No, hey, I had two good flounder. Those flounder were nice, but
yeah, those are two nice flatties. Yeah, you kind of put it on me, man. You kept that boat out of position where I couldn't throw in there.
I was blocking you.
No, you were killing me with that chartreuse paddle tail. Is what it was.
Man, that's what they.
My little
up
John
on
didn't work so good.
Both of us were hooking fish and losing them, and the amount
that was crazy.
I hate to talk about bites, but we did. Honest to God, we had a million bites. It was crazy. They were just slapping it around, you know.
I know.
But,
hey, when I put that rat tail slamming chicken on, man, And I caught that first good fish with it. I said, oh, boy, I found the right bait. Hey, I don't know how many hits I had on that and how many follow-ups right to the boat. They wanted it, but they didn't want it. They wouldn't commit. It's stupid.
I know. It started out that way yesterday. They were just knocking it around. You know, the tides changed. We went back to two tides, and we've got a really hard incoming. Well, depending on where you're at, we've got a real hard incoming in the morning, and I couldn't fish where I wanted to fish yesterday. We got kind of a late start, and it's like I was telling you last week. There's everything now is like, there aren't any secrets at this point. We're deep enough into the summer where everybody knows where everything's at. And so I couldn't fish. Remember where I caught those two big fish with us the other day?
First stop. I lost a good one there, too. I had one on about 4 pounds it came off.
Yep. Well, I couldn't even fish that yesterday. And I made a – it's okay. I mean, it is what it is. It's – those are just bigger fish. And as a matter of fact, the majority of them are oversized, you know, for today's slot. But it's fun. I mean, I love, you know, I'd much rather release 4 to 5 pounders.
I mean, the way it is right now, I'd rather sit there and catch and release those bigger fish. And, I mean, you can just stop on any street corner right now and get you a 3-piece. I mean, seriously.
That's right. No, that's right.
You want some meat to take home.
And that's that you're dead on. And that's what me and the guys, I had Harry Heitkamp and his guys last 2 days, two different groups of customers in from out of town. And Harry didn't join us yesterday, but he put another 4 with me. I had the picket fence last 2 days, but we were going to wade yesterday morning. And I waded this group last year and we absolutely obliterated them. But man, the boat fishing, and I said this the other day, we're catching them wading too. But for me, what I'm doing, our bigger fish are coming out of the fiberglass.
Yeah.
I mean, they're in 6 to 8 foot of water
right
over deep shell. And, you know, we already know about the freshwater runoff and everything. Well, you saw it yourself. I mean,
sure. Yeah.
There's so much fresh on top. And there's certain areas. And these fish are in the bottom 2 feet of the water column.
You got to fish deep, man. You got to get on that bottom of that water column.
That's it. And
there's a little crow hopping on the bottom, man.
I almost like dead sticking it. It's kind of boring, really. And then they just pick up. They land down there in that salt layer, and
pick it up and swim off with it.
Yeah, but they have so much shad. They're so gorged on shad.
Yeah.
And they're just laying down there fat and happy most mornings. And you just chunk your worm out there and let it sink like dead bait and just kind of twitch it and move it around a little bit. And they just pick it up and swim off with it. It's a really bizarre bite. Now,
what
does
Hammer call it? The old hop and drop pattern?
I guess. Here comes my guy. Let me see. He doesn't know I'm doing the show. Hold on 1 second. Hey, Jim. Hey, man. I'm almost done. Okay. But yesterday I couldn't do any of that because, you know, like I said, everything got. We went tide runner fishing and kind of what me and you did. Well, exactly what the two of us did. You know, right where I'm talking about, you nicknamed it the Burning Bush, and that's what I'm going to call it from now on. But I pulled up to that stuff, and I hate putting the anchor out there because it's so daggum muddy. But the wind was kind of blowing right into it, and
where
I really
you
didn't
had
have
to.
Anchor. Yeah, and man, we sat there. I think we caught 20.
You know, because once you drift over them and catch a few out of there, and then you come back, it kind of disperses them.
That's
it
exactly
does.
Right. And hardly any little ones yesterday. And I did catch another flounder over there, right where I caught those other two the other day. But
the other night. You filleted for me. They were so good.
Oh, I'm telling you, man. I haven't had a chance to cook mine yet. But
those trout fillets were the pinkest and cleanest No worms in them. I mean, hey, those man, those were good fish. There's nothing like fresh fish right out of the water. My wife's still talking about it.
I'm telling you, and the ones I cleaned yesterday, same. There no worms in them. They're just beautiful fillets, good eating size, 17, 18 inch fish. But we sit there and we beat on those, and they're all tide runners.
Yeah.
And then we went red fishing, and never caught a red. I couldn't really do the crankbait thing because I had four guys. It was kind of wasn't
optimal.
Yeah, it
makes it difficult.
Well, you saw what I'm doing over there.
Sure.
You can't imagine five guys trying to do that.
No, you can't do it.
But we caught, man, I think we caught six or eight more really solid trout. And then we left there, and I told them, I said, I know where some bigger fish are. Let's see if, these other guys are gone, and we'll go backdoor them. And we hit that stuff on the way in. I caught a four, then I caught one a little over five. And
is that the one in the slow-mo video you sent me?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah, that was a good fish. Yeah.
That was a really good fish, but I didn't even pull it out of the water. I put the bug on it. I don't net those fish. I put the bug on it and didn't even lift it up much, just enough to pull it out of the water and get the hook out. And then I didn't take a picture or anything. I just slipped it right back in the water. But I actually was going to have one of the guys, full disclosure, I was going to have one of the guys take my picture with it. But one of the other guys was hooked. He was hung up, and I didn't realize it. And his line was getting all into my trolling motor and my lower unit. And I said, well, shoot, we're not going to take a picture in the middle of this chaos. But no, there's a couple of areas that they're just holding for these days. I have to qualify that, of course, but holding some really good quality fish. That's the fourth fish over 5 pounds on my boat in the last week. And I can tell you, I don't think I caught very many over five last year.
No.
In this bay.
Well, times are getting better. I mean, we're rebuilding. We're coming back. Hey, just patience.
Yeah, it's pretty good fish in a lot of places.
Sure.
Now, that being said, there's a lot of areas that we used to catch them that we don't catch them anymore. I think we all know that. But for what we're dealing with habitat issues, with freshwater issues, wind, people, fishing overall, I'm having fun right now. Having a lot of fun.
I had fun the other day and didn't catch that many, but I enjoyed it.
Well, it's like you and James are like the king of one-liners, and I just wish I could remember half of the stuff that y'all throw out there. You had me rolling the other day. I don't even remember what you said. It was funny stuff.
A lot of good conversation, I'll put it that way. It was all good, man. I'm gonna. When you said you obliterated them yesterday, that's the word of the week this week. With the
it is
bombing of Iran obliterated the nuke sites. We obliterating the trout. Yeah, it's all good, man.
That's
all right,
Hillman.
I'll let you get your guys and get out there and obliterate them. So somebody wants to give you a call about your spray guard or booking a trip, how do they get a hold of you, man?
Okay, I appreciate that, man, very much. 409-256-7937.
All right. Save me some for next week now.
Okay, I will.
Don't hair lip too many of them. All right, brother. We'll see you, Steve. Thank you, man.
Right, thank you.
Later.
All right.
Well, unfortunately, that's all the time we have for today's show. We'll be back in the morning bright and early, 4 a.m., right here at Sports Radio 610 KILT Houston.